Praise God. Praise God for a wonderful time in Siem Reap with my wife. It's a mission trip come honeymoon. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Thanks for Pastors Francis and Pastor Yiming for sending us there, okay, for that very, very fruitful but yet short trip, right? After I'll share more to that. So good morning, all my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe that God is going to help us and inspire all of us today, right, to live for Him and to glorify Him every day. Amen. I want to start off this morning. Thanks for the musicians and something. I want to start off with a story of a preacher who visited the city of Atlanta in America and noticed that in the yellow pages was looking for a restaurant, and he noticed in the yellow pages a strange name for a restaurant. It is called Church of God Grill, you know, and out of curiosity, he dialed the number, and someone on the other line picked up the phone and began to say, "Hello, this is Church of God Grill." And then he asked, "Why is it such a strange name called Church of God Grill?" Then he began to explain, right? It all began when we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay the bills. People liked the chicken, and we did such a good business that eventually we cut back on the church service. After a while, we just closed down the church altogether and keep on serving chicken dinners. So we kept the name we started, and that's Church of God Grill. And hope that the SJAG will not follow this path. SJAG Grill. The identity of the church and that church was completely lost. Amen. So the church to me is the greatest movement the world has ever seen. To me personally, the church is the greatest movement in the world today. We are called to be salt of the earth and light of the world. And its language is global, isn't it? Yeah. The world and earth. Which means everywhere we set our foot on, we are called to be salt and light. Everywhere, anywhere that we put a foot on. As the church empowered by the Holy Spirit this morning here, we are to be history makers.
Amen. Yeah.
We are supposed to be the light impacting lives in our community, in our city, and even in our nation, that God can use us to impact lives. This morning, I want to bring to you a church that is a model for us to emulate, found in Acts chapter 11 and 13, the church at Antioch. It's quite a familiar passage for some of you. So let us turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 11 and chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. It starts in verse 19 in chapter 11. And it says here, "Now those who have been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people. The disciples were called Christians at first at Antioch." In verse 27, "During this time were prophets who came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Chapter 13, now verse 1 to 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks, O God, for the grace that you have set upon this church and upon each one of our lives, Lord. And each one of us, God, can tell a story of your goodness, O God, to us, Lord. And we pray this morning as I present the word to your people, God. Lord, you use me, Father. Anoint me, Father, to present it clearly today, God. That how we can emulate the church at Antioch, God, during their early days, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I commit the entire congregation to your hand and myself, Lord. May we all hear the voice of God this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen, amen, amen. Here we learn of the five ingredients. Five ingredients that make this church the exemplary church today for us. And firstly and obviously, it was a gospel-sharing church. It was a gospel-sharing church in verses 18 to 21. You see, Antioch was a thriving city filled with trade and businesses. People go there for business. And Antioch was named one of the three most powerful cities, right? Most bustling cities of Roman Empire. One, first is Rome, second is Alexandria, and now is Antioch, the third one. But it was a city filled with darkness. It was a city filled with immorality. But yet, church, there is no place too dark for the light of the gospel to penetrate. That the light of the gospel cannot penetrate. No soul is too depraved that the gospel of God cannot save. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible tells us the great number of people believed and they turned to the Lord because people were sharing Christ and the good news of the gospel. It was the persecution in Jerusalem. These Christians were migrated to Antioch. And as they were there, they did not sit and sulk. But they stood and shared the gospel. They did not sit down and say, "Oh, what happened? We should have been in Jerusalem. We should stay there. You know, what is happening? Why the persecution?" But they stood strong and shared the gospel. The Bible tells us not only to the Jews, but to the Greeks. And they were speaking to the Greeks. The Bible says here, they speak to Greeks, to the Greeks. It says to us that they were not preaching behind a pulpit. They was just sharing the gospel, telling them in a street language. They were in marketplaces. They were in front porches or backyards of their houses. So they were sharing a simple gospel in a simple term so that average man could understand. So they were all sharing the gospel and people, great number of them, turned to the Lord. I dare say this, if they can do it, so can we. Amen?
Amen.
If they can do it, so can we. Because in verse 21, the Bible tells us the hand of the Lord was with them. The hand of the Lord was with them. And I believe as we share the gospel, the hand of the Lord will be with us. We have the same Holy Spirit, church.
Amen. Yes.
We have the same gospel power.
Amen.
If God can do it then, God can do it now.
Amen.
I don't know whether some of you have heard of this cooking show. It was some years back. The older one may know. If Yen can cook, Right? Some of you would know it. Yen can cook, but he always have this line. You know, when I watch the show, he always have this line: "If Yen can cook, so can you. If Yen can cook, so can you. If Antioch Church can do it, SJAG, we can do it.
Yeah.
We can do it. Let this church be known as the church that make Jesus known. Let this church be known as a reaching out church, a light shining, hope giving, life transforming church, and not famous for chicken grill or famous for anything else. Oswald J. Smith said this, and I quote, "The first work of the whole church is to give the gospel to the whole world."
Amen.
Yeah. The first work. So don't lose our identity, church, of being witnesses of the gospel with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is our Pentecostal spirit. A study was done in a famous Fuller Theological Seminary some years ago. And School of Mission for Church Growth. And they found that maybe a lot of secondary reasons why a church may grow. But the primary reason, the most common one, is that they mobilize and train lay people to witness to the gospel of Jesus. They were sending and mobilizing the lay people to go out there and share the gospel. There is a great weapon in the churches and mainly unused all over the world. There is a weapon that is sitting in this place today. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are the weapon. You are the weapon. Unleash the weapon after the service." Amen. I want to challenge all of us to use this acronym GIFTS to present the gospel, which I came up some years ago. The acronym GIFT, I know the hand of the Lord will be with us, but we need to do something, right? Let us use our generosity. This church is filled with people who are generous. So use our generosity, not just to treat somebody else for dinner and lunches and go for the trips, but let us use our generosity to reach out, to win the lost for Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And then let us use our influence. Here in this church, there are a lot of people who are influencers. You are the CEOs and you are the general manager and you are a lot of people here who are leaders in his own right. You have the influence. Let us use our influence to further the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
In the kingdom of God. Then, in this church, when I came in, me and my wife, this is one of the most friendliest churches I've ever been to. Let's give it all yourself. You guys are the friendliest people. And one of our friends also told me when they went to the cell, he says, "Wow, the people were so friendly." So use your friendship and friendliness to get the gospel shared to your friends, to your colleagues, to your schoolmates, whoever they may be. There's open doors. And then there are people filled with talents here, right? Use your talents for the gospel sharing. And then the young people and some of the older ones, social media.
Yeah.
Of course, social media. Share. Use our gifts, GIFTS, to present the gospel clearly wherever there are opportunities and open doors. Amen? We can do it.
Amen.
And not just the pastors.
Hallelujah.
Let us do it together. Let SJAG be a gospel-sharing church like the Antioch Church.
Amen.
Amen. The second ingredient in this model church, there was a disciple-making church. And I dare add to it in the front of the word intentional. And I am so, so happy and thankful that this church has adopted the IDMC, Intentional Disciple-Making Church, and it was like the Antioch Church. In fact, they did it so well in the Antioch Church that people began to see Jesus in all these disciples. And they were the first time
The disciples were called Christians at Antioch, meaning they were like Christ. They behave like Christ. They are not saying it, but they are also practicing it. They were like Christ. And all of us, church, should be like Christ in our behaviors and conduct. Don't take Christ out of the word Christian. Take Christ out of the word Christian, you will have, how do you spell it? Ian. What can Ian do? What can Ian do for the world if you take Christ out of Christian? In verse 23, Barnabas came from Jerusalem, challenged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So let us grow from mere believers to strong disciples. Amen. Amen. Yep. One of the famous sons that came forth from the discipleship program in Antioch Church was Bishop Ignatius. He came in later because of a strong discipleship at the end. Just to say, he says, I wish not merely to be called a Christian, but also to be Christian. Yeah. We are not just called to be Christian, but we are to be Christian. A Sunday school teacher wanted to impress upon the class of boys, the importance of living the Christian life. And he asked this question, why do people call me a Christian? A man asked. And he was silent for a while. After a moment's pause, a young boy rose up and said, maybe it's because they don't know you. If they know you, what? You're a Christian? Someone said, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. Amen. It's true. A strong disciple doesn't mean a Christian who has gone through a class from Genesis to Revelation. A Christian who carries the cross gladly for Jesus when the storms of life hit. That's a strong disciple. A strong disciple remains true to Jesus when the going gets tough. And here, I want to add here, we should not do it alone. Amen. That's where the body of Christ comes in. That's where we have our team, the church. We encourage one another, amen? We build one another up. We grow into maturity together. Amen. Like one of the armies of the United States or somewhere. We don't leave any behind. We don't leave anyone behind. We want to encourage one another. We're strong, helping the weak. Those who are faith now may be shaken. Those who are stronger faith, let us hold them together, that the body of Christ can come together and help each other so that all of us can be strong disciples. Amen. Archaeologists found a letter of correspondence between a judge and a Roman emperor in the early 2nd century, not too late, more than 1,900 years ago. It was when the persecution of Christians was raging. They found this famous letter. It was this Roman judge, Pliny the Younger, who wrote to the Roman emperor some of the information he learned about Christians during that time, because they want to know how they can persecute them, how they want to interrogate them and send them for execution. This is what he wrote. This judge Pliny the Younger wrote to the emperor. He said these Christians, they were in the habit of meeting on a certain fixed day before it was light. I want to just stop here and pause here for a while. They were in the habit of meeting on a certain fixed day, and I believe it's a Sunday. They were in the habit of meeting. The church to them is really serious and important. It's their priority. But it was before it was light. Aren't you glad that we are meeting here at 10 a.m. in the morning? Yeah. Before it was light, I am not sure. Maybe they are, during a time, they were agricultural people, all right? We are not sure. But Antioch was a kind of a city, all right? It's a bustling city. But here is not Antioch, sorry. Here was in somewhere else. But they were meeting on the fixed day, habit of, before it was light. So 10 a.m. is good, right? But I want to share this. But hopefully that the card that you're carrying with me, right? Let us come early. Amen. I want to say this. Let's come early to worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you start at 10, let us come at 9:45, baby. Let's worship the Lord. And just prepare our hearts for the Lord. Amen.
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 Yeah. And then when they sang hymn to Christ as to the God, as to a God, they believe they sang hymn to Christ as God and bound themselves by a solemn oath not to any wicked deeds, but never to commit any fraud, theft, and adultery. Never to falsify their word, not deny a deny a trust where they should be called upon to deliver it up. They found this correspondence more than 1,900 years ago. They were these true disciples, even when the persecution of Christians was raging. God called us to be strong disciples. Amen?
Amen.
But more than that, He called us to be discipler. To be discipler. I don't know whether there's such a word called discipler. Ultimately, let us aim to be a discipler so that we can pass our traits of Christ-likeness to the next generation. And after that, to the next generation. John Wesley, I want to quote him. He says, the church changes the world not by making converts, but by making disciples. We are not just to make converts, but we're to make disciples. That's where we change the world. We change the city. We change our community. So let the older generation not only teach the Bible, but let us practice the Bible and be a discipler to the next generation here in this church. The younger generation may not catch all that you tell them, but they will truly inspire what you show them. So don't just tell them. Always do show and tell. All right? Always do show and tell. The oft-repeated phrase, I think all of us have heard before, the church is just one generation away from extinction. Therefore, we need more disciples. We need to see younger generation become stronger disciples. In our house, we have a garden. All right? Quite a number of plants. My wife loves plants and all, you know. Sometimes I see her even talking to the plants. Yeah, she loves plants and she has green hands, right? She has green hands, right? But I am just ordinary. I just help to water the plants, right? But one day I saw this plant that we bought. It was like a love-shaped kind of a leaf, right? It was a love-shaped leaf. It was beautiful. It was nice. Every morning when I plant, I would just water the plant and it was like, wow, so nice. But what was interesting was this love-shaped leaf that they have, to the tip of that love-shaped leaf, there's another very tiny love-shaped leaf on top of that big leaf. It was like, wow, I saw that. It was like, wow. It's like the mom and a dad carrying the baby, right? It's baby. And it and I was just thinking through it, and I was saying, if the church would it be like that, right? Let us, the older generation, carry the younger generation, and let them be a strong disciples. And then one thought came that if there will be no more of these small little ones that came out, it would, no matter how beautiful the plant is, no matter how good it looks, if it doesn't have a younger leaf coming up, it will eventually die. Yes, it will eventually. The thought came to me. And finally, that leaf, that pot of plant, the leaf withered and died because there's no more younger ones that came up. So it is a lesson for us this morning that we need to build strong disciples. And let us be disciples. Let's, as AAG, be intentional disciple-making church. Amen?
Amen?
And the third ingredient quickly for this exemplary church is this, that it is a giving church. It is a giving church. Prophet Agabus came from Jerusalem, predicted a famine that would happen. What happened was the church quickly acted, initiated the giving, each decided the amount, and handed it to Barnabas and Saul. They fulfilled all pledges. The swift giving showed the nature of the Antioch church, that they were compassionate, that they were generous. You see, giving to me is quite strategic. If the Antioch church was a stingy church and help would come from somewhere else, Paul would have gone to Macedonia, which he did, to Macedonia churches and all Corinthian church to collect the funds. If the Antioch church was stingy, help would come from somewhere else. And the famine would pass. And they will lose the opportunity to give. So to give, giving to me is very, very strategic. If they will lose the opportunity, they may lose even the blessing. So therefore, I really thank God that the Antioch church showed the example of a swift giving, a compassionate and a generous heart. But what thrills me was this: when you read the scripture, they have the kingdom mindset. They looked to the Lord's work beyond their four walls. Beyond their four walls. They didn't say, let others take care of them, we will take care of our own. Or worse, they says, you know, maybe, you know, somebody else will take care of them, and we pray and wish them well. Church consultant and author Tom Rainer, in his book Autopsy of a Dead Church, this book called Autopsy of the Dead Church, states that one of the symptoms of a dying church is that the percentage of budget for members' needs keep increasing, while the money earmarked for outreach decreases. One of the dying symptoms, one of the symptoms of a dying church. The percentage of budget for members' needs keep increasing, while the money earmarked for outreach decreases. The church loses its strength when it loses its outward focus. Amen. Yeah. Therefore, let us set our priority right in our finance. I love this quote from Randy Alcorn, and I quote, God's money has a higher purpose than my affluence. Giving affirms Christ's lordship. It dethrones me and exalts him. It shifts my vested interest from earth to heaven, from self to God. Giving breaks me free from the gravitational hold of money and possessions. Giving shifts me to a new center of gravity, heaven. What a powerful statement. What we do with our money shows where our heart is. Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore, I strongly believe in tithing as the first fruit, giving honor to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. I rather live a 90% financial lifestyle, honoring God and being blessed supernaturally by Him, than a 100% financial lifestyle, that the money may be spent somewhere else. I want to honor God with my tithes. Let us remind ourselves again this morning that the source of our wealth comes from God. And also reminds of ourselves that we are blessed by God to be a blessing for God. Amen. We are blessed by God to be a blessing for God, for His name, so that the work of God can advance. And on a personal note, I really thank this church, and been a great testimony to me, that this church has been a giving church. You guys are a giving church in missions and also areas where church is needed, the areas that we need help. Quickly, that Dusun Paya thing, you know, the house and all the things that have been, you know, wanted the things to buy and everything, all have been fulfilled. So this is
a giving church. So I want to say to you, keep on keeping on. Keeping on. Continue to bring in your tithes and offering to God's house. That not only the blessing, of God will continue to flow in abundance, but also the work of God will go on all for His glory. Let SJAG continue to be a giving church. The fourth ingredient quickly of the Antioch church is a model for us that it is a sending church. It is a sending church. They send Paul and Barnabas. Let us do a little recap a little bit here in this story. The wonderful church, wonderful hand of God in this church. The gospel starts in Jerusalem. Believers end up in Antioch due to the persecution from the leader called Saul. The Antioch church grows. Barnabas travels there to help and recruit Saul. And Saul is the cause of believers being there in the first place. And now the Antioch church, founded by those whom Saul persecuted, sends him out as a missionary. Let me repeat this phrase, right? The Antioch church, founded by those who persecuted by Saul, now sends him out as a missionary. When I read this, it's like, wow. I have these words for all of us when I read this, when I hear this. I said, don't mess with Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't mess with Jesus. In obedience to God, they sent Paul and Barnabas. Antioch church became a turning point of Christianity itself, from Antioch to the ends of the earth, because Paul and Barnabas, they started that missionary journey. Someone said this, the mark of a great church is not its sitting capacity, but its sending capacity.
Amen.
So I want to share a little bit. My wife and I had a privilege of a short few days. I went for a missions trip to Cambodia. Short time, as I said, it was fruitful. God gave us a great time ministering there. And also meeting with the outreach pastors that SJAG supported, but all of you supported. What was so enriching to me that I could witness pastors, leaders there so focused on church planting and the missions field. Had a great fellowship with the new AG General Superintendent of Cambodia, Pastor Thun Chai. Here he is. And it was out of his church that so many pastors and leaders were sent out to plant churches in all the provinces around Siem Reap and even beyond. And he told us how he continually, still today, train pastors and leaders to go out to the missions field. And right now, he told us that he has a lot of daughter churches, right? He sent out his daughter churches. And he said he also has a lot of granddaughters churches. The leaders, training leaders, and so on and so forth. And then he said something that I will never forget. He said he was elected as a general superintendent of Cambodia quite reluctantly because he was involved in missions field, right? And now I have to go a lot of meetings everywhere. But he said this, in my busyness, I will never forget the missions field. That was a life-changing statement for me. In my busyness, I will never forget the missions field. Although most of us are not missionaries here today or church planters, but all of us can be involved in missions, amen?
Amen. Yeah.
By giving, by praying, and by going. So right now, I want to pause for a little commercial. Kota Kinabalu missions trip coming up on the 14th to 17th June. Do not miss this opportunity to be sent out by SJAG Church. Go and change lives. Sign up today. For more info, please contact Pastor Francis or Pastor Ronnie. Let SJAG be a sending church. Amen.
Amen.
So we are waiting for your going with us. All right, together, let us be a church you know, that will impact lives, not only in Malaysia, not only in our country, not only in West Malaysia, but also East Malaysia in Sabah. And now, to the last but not the least ingredient, before I close, the church at its best, Antioch Church, is a worshiping and praying church. It is a worshiping and praying church. I want to put worshiping and prayer together because of one word. Surrender. Surrender. They knew, the Antioch Church disciples knew, that it was all about Jesus. It is all about God. As we worship, we place God as the highest worth, the greatest value, the utmost reverence, and we bow in surrender. And as we pray, we ask God, Lord, have your way. Have your way. We surrender to your lordship and let your will be done. And as they worship and fasted, and their spiritual ears were open to hear the Holy Spirit, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. After they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. It was a posture of surrendered lives in worship and prayer that they are able to hear and obey. Just a challenge to all of us today. How many times the noises of the world has drowned out the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives? How many times the busyness that kept us from obeying the call of God? Church, worship is not about great music. Prayer is not about eloquent words that it was uttered. It's about surrendering to God and making His will, His voice, His kingdom, His name, His glory, the priority of our lives as we surrender ourselves. Let us remember that it was the disciples who gathered in prayer in the upper room that the Holy Spirit came in power. That's where we have our Pentecostal power. So let SJAG emulate the exemplary church in Antioch, a gospel-sharing church, a disciple-making church, a giving church, a sending church, and a worshiping and a praying church. At one look, it would seem so overwhelming, an uphill task. But I dare say this, it is possible. Amen. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we have the body of Christ here. This is not a solo effort. This is together in one body of Christ. Let us do this together. Recently, not long ago, I was just looking at our country and the things that happen and the world at large. I felt so overwhelmed. I told the Lord, I just cannot do much. Right? It's just beyond me. Then the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart this, and these words came. One soul at a time, Ronnie. One soul at a time. And it dawned upon me that SJAG, all of you, would have just say to yourself, God, just give me one soul at a time. One soul at a time. And I believe that this church will have a revival.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning, I want you to rise to your feet and sing this song with me. It's an old song, Jesus, We Enthrone You. Now, this song came to me, was like, you know, sometimes we have so many things in our lives today that weigh us down. Maybe some habits that entangle us. So many things in our lives that stopped us from going, advancing the kingdom of God that God has called all of us to do. But today, let us pray as this song, as we worship God and pray. Let Jesus be King. Amen.
Amen.
Let Jesus be Lord. Let us put Him in a right place in our hearts and in our church. Let Him be King over all of us, that we surrender our lives to Him. Amen.